We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Perfect way of bringing Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk on the air with a little lick it up from Kiss, because I think Mike loves Kiss. Do I have that right, that's, Mike?
That is correct. Okay. I was at the show at PPG Paints Arena 3.5 weeks ago. It was awesome, sitting in the sixth row. It was the eighth time I saw them. It was so good that I've been looking at when they are, you know, in reasonable travel distance later in the year, so maybe I can see them one more time on their 18th annual farewell tour.
Mike, what was going on with Gene Simmons in the Lick It Up video? Like, that's the first video where they show they're without the masks. Gene needed to put the mask back on.
Or the makeup.
Yeah, the makeup, I'm sorry. He did not look right in that video. He looked like he was trying to do a scowling, mean guy face, and it comes off like a very sad-looking dog.
I don't think he ever was able to adjust to life without that makeup. That became so much of his identity in the 70s that once they decided that it made commercial sense to make the change, it never quite worked for Gene, who actually tried to be a movie star at one point. He played in a movie with Tom Selleck in the mid-80s called Runaway, where he was this guy who had concocted an army of robot spiders who ultimately, spoiler alert, kill him in the end of the movie.
That sounds like a Netflix watch tonight. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by Armstrong Business. Mike, what's the best Steelers draft rumor you've heard?
I haven't heard anything specific. I've picked up enough chatter over the past few days just from things that I see by monitoring all the media that it wouldn't surprise me if they trade up to address one of their needs. And we've seen them trade up in the past. And it's funny because you hear the cliches every year about this time about how teams don't draft for need. They draft best available and this, that, the other thing. I mean, the Steelers, if they have a guy that they like, they'll go get him. And that's what trading up is. It's not just trading up so you can brag to your friends and your associates that you have a higher spot in the draft. You're making a move to trade for a player. And if there's a guy that the Steelers want that they think isn't going to be there when they make their pick in round one, then, you know, we've seen in the past that they will move up to do it. I think they traded up for Troy Polamalu. They traded up for Santonio Holmes. They're not bashful about trading up to address a position they regard to be a position of need. The question is, what do they regard to be a big enough need to make that move? They hope that James Washington will step up so they don't need to reach for a receiver. Defensive back, I heard you guys talking about that on the way in. That always seems to be an area where the Steelers aren't as good as they could be. But in an age with a salary cap, you know, there's always going to be some part of your roster that isn't as good as you'd like it to be, because you just can't pay everyone.
Well, Mike, they seem, you know, scuttlebutt around town is that it's inside linebacker. They need to find a Ryan Shazier replacement. And when it comes to the Devons, I've seen Devin White as high as 5, as low as going to the Bengals at 11. I've seen Devin Bush falling to the Steelers. I've seen Devin Bush being gone in the first 12 picks. What have you been hearing about those two specifically?
Well, I mean, the Buccaneers are a team to watch because they lost Quan Alexander in free agency on the inside, and they could use somebody to take his place, that's for sure. And that's with linebackers, you know, Ryan Shazier was a special player. He ran a 4.3, and they never really utilized him in a way at Pittsburgh that would maximize that speed. I mean, he was incredible on the inside. I always think he would have been even much better if they put him on the outside. But, you know, guys like that are rare, and the question becomes, how much do you want to give up to take a chance on a guy who may or may not be as good as Shazier ever was? Do you stand pat and just take the best available guy? A lot of teams view linebackers as fungible commodities, especially inside linebackers. But when you have a great one like Ryan Shazier and he's not there anymore, it really does create a glaring need. I struggle with figuring out what's the best way to value an unproven rookie because there's a chance you could just sit pat in round one, round two, round three and get a guy who can be groomed and developed into a competent eventual replacement for Shazier.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk here. Mike, who have you heard, when asked this question, who is the best corner in this draft? Which name do you get the most?
It just seems like this draft generally.
Yep.
It seems like it's all over the place on everyone. And I can't remember a year like this where there hasn't been that consensus as, you know, to who the how they're going to come off the board. We still don't know what's going to happen at the top of the draft. And usually by now we have a pretty good idea. One goes here, two goes here, three goes here, four goes here. So, I mean, I think that this year, more than any other in the 18 years I've been doing this, we are going to see, all over the place. And the mock drafts are going to get torn up after the first five or six picks because I think it's all going to happen, you know, in a way that I don't want to say unprecedented, but at least in recent years, it's gonna unfold in a way that goes in a bunch of different directions because I don't think anybody really knows how it's all going to unfold.
Mike, do you have any names that are coming up consistently as, because we always hear about the high risers, the guys shooting up everyone's draft boards. Do you hear any big names that are actually sliding a little bit consistently with, you know, everything you're trying to pick up?
Well, with the injuries, and I'm always skeptical when you know, someone is claiming that someone is sliding because it could be that there's a team that is hoping that guy slides right into their clutches. But when Montez Sweat decided not to go to the draft, that was an indication that he's concerned he's going to slide, and there's some injury issues floating around with him. Rashawn Gary with a shoulder issue that may or may not affect his effectiveness as a rookie. I think that's a guy to keep an eye on. And there's been this weird sense that Dwayne Haskins may slide. People are trying to figure out what the hell the Raiders are going to do with the fourth overall pick. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the guy that they seriously consider taking at number four overall, which, you know, I think with Haskins, it's been so fascinating to me over the past few months. I think he'd be in the mix to be the top pick in the draft, but for Kyler Murray's decision to play football. So, you know, again, there may be somebody out there that would love to see him slide into the teens, like maybe Washington, but there's a good chance Dwayne Haskins isn't going to make it out of the top 10. So I'm always skeptical about the chatter about sliding this time of year because there's always somebody out there who wants a guy to slide in position so they can take him.
Mike, I'm going to ask you a question about a team in the AFC North because I do think it relates to what the Steelers might have available to them at 20. Do you think there's a better chance the Bengals take Andy Dalton's replacement or Vontaze Burfict's replacement with their first-round pick?
Boy, that's a great question. Here's the standard position on what you should do about a quarterback, and this is something that Tony Dungy explained to me last year as it related to the New York Giants considering what they were going to do about an Eli Manning replacement. If there's a guy you like, don't worry about the guy you have. Go get the guy you like at the quarterback position, and he specifically tells that story in relation to Dan Marino and Terry Bradshaw, that the Steelers didn't take Marino in 83 because they had Terry Bradshaw, so why do you want to prematurely turn the page? And the Bengals have said they want to see what Andy Dalton can do. Now, that could all be BS, but if they think there's still some time left with Andy Dalton, okay, he's your guy this year. Don't just go take a quarterback because he may not be your guy next year. He's got to be a guy you like, and I think that's the key. If you're thinking about making a change, don't just rush into it because you're skeptical about Dalton. And, ultimately it comes down to how they evaluate the choices when they're on the clock. And we hear all the time this, and I get back to what I was saying earlier, teams say they don't draft for need. I say baloney. Their assessment of the best available player is driven by the perceived need that they have at a given position. But with Vontaze Burfict gone, there's a need. If they love a quarterback and they think he's going to be the guy who takes over for Andy Dalton, then that's the guy that they should take.
Mike, we've seen in a couple different mock drafts, the Steelers actually at pick 20 taking a wide receiver, Arcega Whiteside from Stanford, and then in one, even Hollywood
Brown. Chris Collinsworth.
Brown. Yeah. Chris Collinsworth had Marquise Hollywood Brown from Oklahoma. Do you sense it, based on what you're hearing, that it's at all realistic that the Steelers could actually go offense and go skill position at that 20th pick?
How in the world could the Steelers bring Antonio Brown's cousin onto the roster?
I know, right?
After everything that happened with Antonio Brown. And it still is happening with Antonio Brown. I mean, I'd be concerned if I'm Marquise Brown, that whether it's the Steelers or anyone else, that just any worry that there's going to be a negative influence from Antonio, or, you know, the kid's going to get jaded sooner than he would be because Antonio seems to be that point in his career, and if he's the guy that Marquise is looking up to, I just think that's a problem. Peter King did a mock draft for us at ProFootballTalk.com. He has the Temple corner, Rocky Sin, going to the Steelers there. And as you guys are saying, I mean, that's been this chronic area of need for as good as the Steelers have been at finding receivers in mid to late rounds, and Kevin Colbert has an incredible track record in that regard. You guys are right, and I heard it at the beginning, flipping it over to the defensive side, there hasn't been that consistency. So sometimes you just got to take the shot in round one. You got to let your need drive your assessment. And if they really do believe, and they know James Washington based upon a full year of monitoring him at practice, and it's hard to get significant reps when you've got Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown as your top wideout. If they believe he can make that leap, then you have less of a need at the position. And it all comes back to need. I don't care what anyone says. Need is going to dictate what you do. And I think there is the greater need on defense than there is right now on offense.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. Mike, should the Steelers trade the 20th pick for Patrick Peterson?
No. The way that the NFL changed the rookie compensation system back when Peterson was drafted in 2011, it's so much cheaper to draft and develop a young guy than to absorb a big salary. Now, I think Peterson's around $11 or $12 million this year, but, you know, something upset him in Arizona. Somebody said something he didn't like. That was the report from Kent Summers of the Arizona Republic. And, you know, I don't know where this is all going to stand going forward, if he's going to be disgruntled or not. But after the Steelers just unloaded a guy who was disgruntled, I don't think you want a freshly disgruntled player from some other team. Yeah, you don't want that mindset. Even if it's a guy who's happy to come to Pittsburgh, I don't think you want to welcome that into your locker
room.
But,
Mike, what do you think he'd go for? If Arizona does unload him, what's a fair return for Patrick Peterson?
Well, you know, I look at what the Chiefs gave up to get Frank Clark today from the Seahawks. Now, Peterson's 28, you can argue that he's been, I don't know, maybe not as good in recent years, but it's always hard to project how good a guy is when the team all of a sudden nosedives. I think he's a versatile weapon. He's a great cover corner. The best cover corners, you never quite know how good they are because the ball doesn't get thrown in their direction very often. But I think that a low one, a high two would make sense if there really is a team out there that wants him, that feels like that's going to be a significant upgrade. And if they believe, based upon studying everything that he's done in recent years, that he's still got some great football in him, but he's not old by any stretch. The question is, how effective is he going to be in your defense, and is he going to fit with what you're trying to do?
Mike, we had Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin both, but especially Colbert sort of opining that their philosophy with rookies is they want them to sit as long as possible, and they want them to learn. They want essentially a redshirt year. Do you think that's in line with the way the rest of the NFL still looks at rookie players, especially first, second rounders? Or do you think the league has shifted more towards, we expect more instant impact?
I think that teams expect more instant impact. Now, I think a big reason for that is, in most other cities, the coaches and the GMs don't have the luxury of the patience that the Rooneys have with their front office and coaching staff. Now, look, there's been so much talk this offseason about whether or not that patience is still going to be what it's been. But, you know, there's a greater urgency to win, so there's a greater urgency to find guys who can come in and play right away. Teams don't have salary cap problems like they used to have, but there still is something to be said for having young, cheap players who are contributing at a time when you've got money tied up in older, more expensive veterans. And the more young, cheap guys that can contribute, the easier it is to afford some of these other guys, that when you put it all together, that's how you build a potential championship roster.
Does Mike Florio, avowed Penguins fan, want a major shakeup?
With the Penguins?
Yes.
You know, I don't know. Here's the problem. I don't follow the Penguins nearly closely enough during regular season hockey because I don't have time to, and so I discover them late in the regular season into the postseason, and this year I only got to really study them for four games.
Okay.
So it was not an acceptable outcome to get swept, that's for damn sure.
Right.
But I don't know how big of a shakeup is needed for the Penguins.
Does Mike Florio watch Game of Thrones?
Do I what?
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Pony, yeah, we're striking out with the Game of Thrones.
Pony, I think you are 0 for every guest on Game of Thrones, and I'm happy about it. That means we have the right guests coming on this show.
Is there something wrong with me because I don't watch?
No, there's something right with you.
Great cultural event.
There's something right with you, Mike.
It is a cult. It is a cultural phenomenon. Yes.
What's the difference between Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings?
the name.
There's more sex.
More? Well, I guess any. It's a very low bar in Lord of the Rings from what I remember.
Middle Earth, they were all very puritanical.
Those hobbits can get freaky from what I hear.
Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports. Now Chris Sims is on there, which is a huge addition. And did you say, are you going to do a mock draft, Mike, or no?
You know, I probably will. Okay. I've been sitting on one from a guy that I know and a guy that I trust. He does one. He throws one together for me every year, and I kind of take it from there. I probably will, just because I really think I haven't been ridiculed enough yet this year. So
okay.
I want to get maximum derision and scrutiny and criticism. So we probably do something tomorrow.
Cool. All right, Mike, we'll keep doing show with Big Cat, and I'm sure you'll get enough derision maybe out of that.
Good deal.
All right, see ya. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He's one of those Penguins fans who doesn't watch during the regular season and gets on board for the playoffs.
He makes a playoff pilgrimage to hockey Mecca.
He sounds like he's a bigger Kiss fan than Penguins fan.
Absolutely a bigger Kiss fan. He had a real Gene Simmons take there. And if Gene Simmons really wanted to star in movies, I think he might have wanted to inquire about what his wife's career was like in that business.
What's the backstory there?
His wife's Shannon Tweed. She starred in all that softcore stuff.
Softcore like, what?
Action.
Softcore ice cream.
Action.
She would star in movies where you'd go to like Eagle Video and the movie was called Body Heat 4. It looked like one of those cheap, tawdry romance novel covers.
3 was better, yeah, but 4 was okay.
The real fans know that Body Heat 2 is where the series
Text peaked. Us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. We will talk about the Patrick Peterson trade rumor. Is he headed to Pittsburgh? More on that next, and then the NASCO preview show on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.